Oh my gosh, this is epic.
I'm so excited. So crazy.
So this is how it works, isn't it?
I know. Like, I just, you decide you're going to do something and then you do it.
And then you do it. And then it goes from creation, in, like I call it, it goes from the spiritual to the physical.
Right? It was like, oh, I should just have a podcast. Like, I guess I have a podcast now.
Oh my gosh, I love it so much.
So let's start with you telling me a little bit about your business and you and your background. I think it's so fascinating to me. Like, you didn't even grow up in the U.S.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, so my name is Alyssa, and I started a styling business called Styled by E in 2013. And so basically from there, I have grown a styling business as well as a styling school, and finally, actually, a real estate investment company as well. So all of those have kind of come out of just me as a person, I guess. And so that's a little bit of like me, of what I currently do. I will say, you know, what you do is a little bit different from kind of how you are inspiring the world or how you are actually like elevating the world. And so I would say like my being is really just exists to help elevate humans and elevate people and help them to become more of the person that they truly are, more of their authentic self. So that's kind of, and everything that I do, like all of my businesses really combine some level of that, of making things kind of more beautiful and more like their authentic, original, you know, way of being. And that kind of, you can see that across all of my projects or all the things that I really am passionate about. So, and how did I get here? So I got here, you're totally right. I didn't grow up in the U.S. So I grew up abroad. I grew up from 0 to 8, I was in the U.S. And then from 8 to 18, I actually grew up in Southeast Asia. So in mostly Vietnam, and I went to boarding school in the Philippines. So definitely a different kind of background, but I wouldn't trade it. You know, it's been one of those things that's been really, really helpful for me, and has really, you know, colored my view of life.
Yeah. I mean, you talk a lot about heart-centered business. Do you think some of that came from growing up in Southeast Asia and being around like a different like spiritual energy in those places?
That's really a good, you know, point to make. And I would say that I, growing up abroad and growing up in, you know, in really a third world country, like both, you know, both Vietnam and the Philippines, especially at the time, you know, really people were living on $60 a month. That was their entire, you know, their entire income was $60 a month. And so that really changed the way I viewed life and the meaning of life and what's important and values and, you know, and kind of all of that. And so I really understood. I think I've said this before, and it's always sticks with me. You know, I would come back to the U.S. and I would be in these like big houses with so much food and so much excess. And yet people often would just complain and were not actually happy. And then you'd go to Vietnam and there would be no, you know, no floors and just, you know, plenty of food, but really genuine happiness. And so I think that really influenced my view of how I wanted to do business and how I wanted to interact with people. And so from there, it was like, I basically decided that my standard was happiness all the time and connection, human connection all the time. And then to actually build a business from that place and to know that money, success, there's certain things that like, that aren't the key to happiness. Do they improve your life? Absolutely. Do they help make things easier in some ways? Absolutely. But that's not the ultimate. I just know, I have seen it time and time again, that's not the ultimate thing that creates happiness.
Right. So how has that really translated into you working with clients? Because I know so much of what you do is like up-leveling, and, you know, we talk all the time offline about like luxury and how we love these things, and like, And while I think we're both actually very down to earth people, but we're like, but we really like flying first class and designer clothes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Well, I think so it, a few different ways. I think so at the core, what I said at the beginning, you know, at the core of my business is authenticity and creating what is authentic to you. And I actually personally believe that humans are really actually like luxury and are abundant just in their, I would say in our nature, we like abundance, you know, yeah. In the world around us is abundant by nature. If you look at fruit, a fruit tree and how much fruit it produces, it's an overabundance of fruit. How much, you know, like we live in a very, very abundant world. And so I would say that that's, you know, that one of those core, that's kind of one of the core pillars of my belief structure is just, is that we live in abundance and it's not actually, and really to get to abundance, it's actually removing the belief that it's, that you can't have it or that it's inaccessible or that that's for people that aren't me or that that's wasteful. You know, a lot of times people think that abundance is wasteful, but I would say true abundance, you know, buying designer clothes, for example, yeah. You know, is actually less wasteful, much less wasteful than, you know, fast fashion and buying things that wear that, that are, you know, get tattered out very quickly and, you know, are done with one wash or, you know, so I actually, so I think that, I mean, I love abundance and I think the world is abundant. I think you, there was some other thing that you mentioned and I'm blanking out on the question right now, but I will say at the very, like the center of my business and my process with clients is getting to know who they really are and not like, not what society has told them to wear or not what society has told them to be, but truly, truly, what lights you up? What makes you, what colors make you want to do a little happy dance? What, you know, what's that purpose in the world that you're like, that you're really, really excited about? And we actually dress you for that, dress you for that next level. But it always starts with that uncovering of the truest, your highest self and the truest form of you.
I think that's amazing. And I can say just being your friend, but like, I'm like, I really, what was it last week? I said, like, I really want to buy a leather skirt. And you're like, buy a leather skirt. Like, go do it. Why aren't you? But I think there's kind of, and I think you would agree, a lot of us who have grown up like middle class or even like upper class, sometimes we end up with this guilt of like, we're spending and we shouldn't be. Mm-hmm. And I know you've seen me like have that block and kind of come through it over the last 6 months. Of this almost like, because other people are suffering, we should be suffering too. It's yeah. a weird space, but I have noticed so many people are in it, especially once they become successful.
Absolutely.
So how do you work through that with clients?
Yeah. So that's a great, great, great question. So here's the thing. When you, if you're suffering, if you're drowning, you can't actually help a drowning person. And so I have seen the people that do the most good in countries are absolutely like, you want to get, you want to help your neighbor, but also like it helps. I mean, you just need, well, this gets into like so much of a bigger conversation that that I love having, but I think that there are many, many different ways to help people. And I think it goes back to what is the way that you feel called to help people and what are the ways that you feel inspired. And that guilt is like, I always say, this is one of my little phrases. There's no guilt or shame in the queendom of Alyssa, because truly what is guilt? Guilt is not giving yourself permission to actually be who you are and to own a certain desire. And that's coming from the place that desire is wrong and there's something wrong with your desires. But if you think about like truly what are your desires, like beautiful things, that is a human desire, is to have beautiful things. That's like we've been dressing and adorning our bodies for since as long as time has existed. And then the other thing that I'll say about just poverty and even feeling guilty about buying things when you're, you know, when there is, when there is suffering in the world, I have like three kind of main points about this. So the first thing is that this is why I really, really recommend buying quality over quantity. You know, a lot of times there's that guilt around buying things. And so you just keep buying cheap things instead of actually investing in things that you really, really love and actually are paying those workers fairly, that are actually are businesses that are actually providing jobs and sustainable jobs and good jobs. You know, so, and that's what you're investing in when you're buying something that is high quality. So, and that takes me to my second point. The thing that I have seen, you know, help elevate a country the most is actually successful business and providing jobs for humans that need jobs. And what is fashion does that actually. Right. And then that brings me to my third point. I think that women, when women are empowered and women are actually free to be who they are, they actually do amazing things in the world, and start those businesses and will and are incredibly generous with their money. But we can't do that if we're like basking in a sea of guilt and shame about what we're doing and or what we're not doing. I think it starts with who are you? What are you super passionate about? And go do that and go dress for that next level, go dress for that person and stop buying things that you don't love. Like literally stop buying shit you don't love.
So and, simple, right?
Yeah.
Just if you don't love it, don't buy it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Oh, I love that. I know you've started coaching people, which I love seeing you move into that space. How did you go from styling and like the school of heart-centered styling to becoming like, I would even like call you like a spiritual business coach.
Yeah.
And it's been so amazing to really see you open up into that. So can you talk a little bit about that like transition?
Yeah, absolutely. So I say the thing that I've done the most of is start businesses. I started my first business when I was 5. You know, I was the girl that had the $1,000 lemonade stand because I had employed the whole neighborhood to quite literally like, you know, go sell for me. And so that's literally the thing that I know the most is business. And I also love that business now gets to be tied to purpose. It's really, really fucking powerful. And so, and I have seen this time and time again, is when you have purpose and you have vision, the business, you will do whatever you can and whatever it takes for that business to succeed. And so for me, I always say like I've existed at the intersection of creativity and business. And I would also add spirituality to that as well. Kind of grew up in the church, really kind of booted the church, but kept God. I always say like so much I had to really, really come back to this. Like, well, actually I do believe in a higher power, no matter what. I do believe in that. And I see that with, you know, with businesses that have, you know, conviction and actually have that vision, they just do so much better. And the messaging is clear. It's like literally that why is the beginning of everything else. And so that transition happened really when I was doing, so I started the School of Heart-Centered Styling, which basically trains stylists in the embodied style method, which is my method of doing styling. And then I noticed that all these kind of people in my circle were like, Alyssa, you have started these successful businesses and you've run it from a true place of authenticity and of power. And how did you do it? You know, and you're so purposeful, you know, how did you do this? What was this? And so I take very few clients at this point. It's mostly people that are interested in kind of aligning to their purpose or having businesses, either starting businesses or almost realigning their current business and infusing a lot of purpose into what they're doing. And I love it. It's like so powerful. It's one of my favorite things to do to get off of a call or even like, you know, some form of talk about this, because it's radical. It's really, really amazing when women are lit up and ready to go and ready to just like fly, and their whole, their vision and their purpose and their passion and really their way of making money is all aligned. It clicks into place and they really, really go fast.
It is really cool to see.
Yeah.
I've seen it with you and then even myself over the last few months, like everything kind of falls in place and it just like, you just go.
Yeah.
amazing. And then when we met, which is kind of a funny story, we met through an Instagram story of Ali Webb's, which thank God for Ali Webb unknowingly bringing us together.
I know.
You were like mid divorce. I think you were about to go to Paris on like a solo journey. And I remember like in the next few months, you started posting like your evolution out of marriage and just thinking like, I'm so in love with that term. Any kind of partnership that breaks, we always call it like a breakup or like, it's just this horrible thing. And you came to it with such a place of love. Mm-hmm. So can you talk a little bit about like, as much as you're comfortable with like your divorce and then how you really like kept going and stayed positive, kept your company going during that time.
So I was married for 6 years and I was actually together with my ex-husband for 10 years. And he's an amazing, amazing human, amazing man. And we got married really young and I slowly started to feel, I call them the up level shakes or the up level quivers. You know, you kind of start to really change and grow and some things start to not quite, you know, they either need to kind of grow with you or fall away or it needs to change shape, you know? And so I think that for me divorce is like such a loaded word. It's so sad, you know, and anytime that something breaks, it is sad. But I think the way that I approached it was sometimes we grow and it's okay to grow into something else and to let a relationship take a different shape and a different form. It's not bad. It's not right. It's not wrong. It just is, it's an allowing of both parties to grow into truly who, you know, they want to be. And so that evolution out of marriage, I mean, you know, thankfully my divorce is actually final. And yes, I did go to Paris. It was amazing. And I just, you know, divorce is a big thing. And I think we kind of have so much shame around it of like, oh my gosh, I failed. Or I know I dealt with a lot of like, I failed. And, you know, what could I have done differently? And, you know, maybe, you know, am I being selfish in this? Because, you know, ultimately what the deal breaker, but probably the thing that, the impetus for this evolution out of marriage was our long-term vision for life and what we wanted was really not aligned. And so that is a big thing, you know, when that alignment isn't there, it makes kind of running the three-legged race or just running the race together, I should say, pretty difficult. And I really, you know, I think I kind of thought of it as what is love for me and what is love for him. And for me, love is truly honoring the thing that I am here to do in this world and my growth. That's really the most loving thing for me and the world. Truly, because it goes back to this kind of this purpose and the soul aligned businesses, when you're really living on purpose, that's the thing that you're actually here to do in the world. And that's actually the people benefit most from you when you are kind of in alignment and doing that thing. And so, And then I asked myself, what is love for him? Well, love for him is actually being with somebody that is aligned in his next level and in his purpose in the world. So that's kind of where, I mean, that's where I landed. And, you know, it hasn't been an easy journey at all. I think, you know, divorce just as a whole, it's a business partnership as well. So you're really, you know, and we owned property together and, you know, homes and things like that. And so to really, you know, create like space between that and to, you know, to really, you know, dissolve that was difficult emotionally, but also difficult, you know, from a legal standpoint and a business standpoint.
Right. No, that totally makes sense. Something I was like, not envious, but like, I was also going through a hard time towards the end of your divorce. And like, noticed that, like, you weren't really missing a beat. Like, privately, like, we knew things that the public didn't know, obviously, but, like, outward facing, like, Alyssa was getting her shit done. And, like, I was like, I am in bed for the third day in a row working from here, and maybe my emails are getting answered today. And so there was this part of, like, how did you do that? Like, you have all of this going on. It's so emotional. And you're still, like, you still showed up every day.
Man, you are so funny, because there was definitely the days that I was like, nope, I'm definitely watching Sex and the City reruns. Like, we are not doing anything. Like, I am, like, barely eight. Like, I'm like, I'll think protein powder is enough to sustain me. Like, I just, you know, so so I think the first thing that I would say about anything difficult is to allow yourself to go through it. Yeah. And sometimes people might disagree with this, and I kind of don't care, but I really was like, this sucks, and I'm going to feel all the pain, and I'm going to cry when I need to cry, and I'm going to go for a run when I need to go for a run, and I'm going to take a bath when I need to take a bath. Like, and I'm actually going to be present for every single one of these emotions, even if they don't make sense, you know, because sometimes you're like, wait a minute, I'm at the grocery store and I just saw, like, the kind of water that we always bought, and here I am, I'm just need to cry, and to not let that be like, oh my gosh, I want, that means I'm crying, that means that this was the wrong decision, but to just cry and celebrate what it was, and cry through the pain of it, and then realign to the purpose and the vision of my life and the truth of who I am. So yeah. There's definitely some really, really hard times. And, but I honestly, it's crazy, because here I am, and I mean, I wouldn't wish it on anybody, but I feel a level of resilience that I never knew I had. And I feel also it was a capacity expander. So I have the capacity to process really difficult emotion, and that translates really well into business, because yeah. It's like, you know, I mean, if for any business owner, or actually any person who is responsible, has a high level of responsibility and accountability, you know that you're making decisions a lot, and you actually need to, and you're feeling a lot, and you're needing to, you need a big capacity to process information and emotion as well. So I think that, yeah, if it looked like I didn't miss a beat, I definitely did miss a beat. There's actually at the time I was in the process of a styling, platform that I was a partner in. I was a silent partner in, and I actually had to back out at that, during the heavy parts of this, because I just was, it was too much. And so, in my normal, life, my normal capacity, without divorce, I definitely could have done that, but I actually did need to, take that time to grieve and to process. So definitely some of the emails were a little bit delayed. I took about a month and a half, and I basically didn't work for a month and a half. So I was really strategic with that, and just knew that, in order for me to heal, I needed the space to not have to produce. And I know that's not a luxury that everybody has. It was the best decision ever.
Yeah. I do remember you saying that you weren't launching anything for 3 months.
Yeah.
And being like, 3 months is a long time.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it's great for people to know, like, because I do the same thing. Like, what I'm putting out on social media to the public is not showing every struggle.
Right.
And I think we both try to be very honest that it's not easy. But
right.
We're also not talking about, like, the ins and outs of every detail that are going on.
Right.
Because a lot of times you can't. And something I've learned is it's just not everyone's business.
100%.
So moving on from that, I know you just hit a major revenue mark for your monthly revenue, which is exciting. And I think, like, people that are just starting, whether it takes you 5, 10 years to get to $1 million or 1 or 2 years, like, it's a huge, huge thing where you've brought in $1 million of revenue in your company. And as you're hitting those marks, like, how are you doing it? One, and like, what do you think is different from you and other people who are like quitting when they're at those like $5,000-$6,000 months where they're like, this is too expensive. I can't pay my personal bills or whatever it is. And they're just, they give up really early.
Yeah. So I think 100% it's not easy. You know, I have amassed personal debt. I have amassed business debt. There have been decisions that I've made that I had to learn from. I've had to forgive myself. I have had to continue to realign to the bigger vision and stay committed. So I think, you know, and I did last month, I had a really, really exciting, a really big month. And to hit some of these goals is really exciting. I think what I'd say to anybody that's starting is, well, number one, hire support, hire a mentor or hire somebody or be around people that have already done it, because they will normalize these numbers for you. And they will normalize when you're freaking out and having a panic attack, having some kind of emotional response, they will actually point you to the why and kind of normalize the struggle a little bit. So I think that's really helpful. I think also it can be done. You know, I was just so, you know, I had a really negative person in my life who's no longer in my life, thank the Lord. But I just remember this person kind of saying, oh, that's impossible. Like me wanting to say, like, me being like, these are the goals that I'm setting for my company. And this person saying, you know, that's good job, but let's be realistic. Mm-hmm. And while, like, I love that, I think there's a place for, like, for realistic, totally, there's a place for that. But you know what? There's also a place for, like, yeah, I'm going to be realistic, but I'm going to, like, go fucking make a lot of money.
Yeah.
And I know that when I make a fuck ton of money, I am able to be more generous. I'm able to hire people. I'm able to make a difference in the world. I'm able to create a company culture that I would want to work in. You know, you just have a lot more, you are actually the one that's creating in the world and not just consuming. So I think just if you're making, like, first of all, if you're making $3,000 in your business, good job. Like, give yourself,
absolutely.
That is like amazing. That is just like so amazing that you, like, because to really think that you, something from what you're doing or your idea is actually somebody's like paying you for that. That's amazing. You know, that means that energetic exchange is happening, and that's like just amazing. So that's the first thing. The second thing, don't listen to the people that are like, no, just like, it's just be committed, stay focused, and figure out what's working, you know, and keep doing more of what's working. Yeah. And then my third thing is hire mentors or get around people that you have seen them do what you want to do, or are going to inspire you, because those mentors are worth their weight in gold, because they can get you where you want to go.
Absolutely. I always tell people that my no's come from my lawyers and my CPA. Like, if you're not here to like be excited and like be part of this, like, you're not welcome.
I love that so much.
And I think it's funny to hear people like, because still, like, you know, like, Perform has gotten pretty big. We hit some really big revenue marks. And there are still people that are like, oh, like, your little blog business.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I have a software company. What?
Yes.
No. But it's so funny, because I think those people, I almost think that they're reminders to us of, like, there are still people that, like, don't believe in themselves. And, like, there are so many people looking up to us saying, like, can we do that? And for me, that person was actually Allie Webb,
yeah,
which is funny that she's who brought us together. She's the first person that I ever met that, like, didn't have a college degree. I have one, but from, like, a really small university. And she didn't have a business background. She was a stay-at-home mom. And, like, when I met her, she had 19 stores. So to me, at, like, 29, that was, like, an empire. It was, yeah, like, you have 19 stores across the country. Like, how? You know?
Wow.
And it was the first person that I was like, if she can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely.
So who was that person for you?
Oh my gosh, I've had so many across so many.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, who I honestly I feel like I looked at Steve Jobs was a big one. Like all of these
Yeah.
people are like heroes from afar, and that really just helped me to keep going. And Steve Jobs is actually one of them because I think I saw so much of his story and of his just up and down, you know, and had some really big losses. And then also, but then also held firm in his vision of what he thought was possible for the world. So he was definitely one of them. I early on in my career, I heard an interview with him that changed my whole life. And he basically said, everything that you see around you was in somebody's brain before you're now using it. You know, it was a vision before it became reality. And that really changed my life because I think that changed me from being just a consumer into a creator. And really, okay, I'm not just going to be the somebody's that's just here letting life happen to me, but I'm actually going to make life happen. And so he was definitely a big one. I think also I did something called the Landmark Forum, and that was just a self-development thing early on in my career. And that also really, really changed my life and made me kind of realize, oh yeah, I can be this person too. And then finally, man, I just feel like, again, there's just like so many people like Ali Webb. I remember even you bring up Ali Webb, and I remember, you know, hearing her story. And, you know, this was like 2013, I think. So long ago. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, okay, she hired a CEO. This is how she did it. This is like she's getting to be herself. Like, and I was also very inspired by her. I think anytime female business owners kind of started popping up, I was like, oh, this is amazing. Sarah Blakely, a massive inspiration
Yes.
to me.
Yeah.
You know, like basically, I think I just, anytime there was a woman succeeding or even a man succeeding that I felt aligned to, I just kind of used that as proof that it's possible and kept going. And just, and it's interesting because this late, I keep having these layers of it happen. You know, I was in Colorado visiting some family and realized I don't, we're not the like I'm truly, truly wanting to create something. And that's not safe. You know, it's not quote unquote safe. It's not a job at, you know, at a, you know, at an accounting firm or anything. It's different. It's totally different. And you have to be good to take those risks and to do that, to pursue it.
I totally agree. Creating, being a builder, creator is not at all safe. Like, I actually kind of laugh. Like, I'm at a point now where I'm hiring people a lot, and somebody said to me the other day, like, what's the job security like? Like, what if there's a recession? And I was like, I'm gonna be really honest with you. If you're looking for like this company is not going anywhere, like, you need to go to a corporate job. That is
Yeah.
not like what the startup risk is for. This is for like the people that are really excited about what we're doing, and like the equity is worth the risk. You know what
Yeah.
I mean? Like, so it's, I don't know. I think you have to be like a little level of crazy to think that you can make a difference and like change the world. Which is so funny because people are like, you think you're changing the world with software? And I'm like, fuck yes, I do.
Why not?
Right? Like, yeah, I think I can change sales culture. Like, go in your corner and like have your toxic environment, and I'll have mine.
Absolutely. Well, and I think the thing how you change the world is by changing you, and
Yeah.
literally by you changing you is then changing your sales culture and how you hire people, and then those people then experience a different level, a different type of culture, and then they bring that into their lives as well. And so that's really how you're changing the world, right? It's like it's and little by little. So it's totally possible, and I see it. So
Yeah.
100%.
And then let's talk about I don't know why I keep saying and then. I'll have to cut some of those out. So the other thing that came up a lot, I think, in the last few months is the queendom of Alyssa. And yes. You're dating again. Can we talk about that? I can cut
yeah.
Okay. So yeah. Queendom of Alyssa and dating. Like, what is it like dating now?
Oh my gosh. So first of all, you said the queendom of Alyssa. And yes. I post, and I'm going to like just say what that is. So post-divorce and really post a lot of things. I just basically cleared out my closet, cleared out everything, cleared out, you know, I basically finances were really interesting having gone through a divorce. It like basically like you, I mean, it was a reset in many, many ways. And so I just sat down with a piece of paper and a pencil and I drew out my castle and I was like, okay, in the queendom of Alyssa, how do things operate? You know, how does money operate? How does investing operate? How do people have access to Alyssa? How are people taken care of in my queendom? You know, like, for example, you know, I have people that help me function and live life. And how are they treated? How are I basically just like established kind of rules for the queendom of Alyssa? It's almost like standard operating procedure for my realm. And it really, really changed my entire existence, because I think I see this in women, and I don't want to say women, but I see women trying to fit into a box instead of creating their own box. And so I, from the queendom of Alyssa, I was like, okay, this is my box. You know, this is what my standards are. This is what I love. This is how money flows. This is how people come into my space. This is how, you know, everything. This is how I shop. This is how, and I just really established, you know, how it's going to be. And from that, it was radical, because I felt like I got myself back. You know, it was all of a sudden like nothing operates. If I don't operate, nothing else operates in my life. And so really the queendom exists to help me operate at my best, at my peak performance, and with the adequate boundaries, adequate rest, adequate support, I'm my best, and everybody wants to be their best. And that's actually your responsibility to set the parameters for you to be your best. Anyway, so that was the queendom of Alyssa. I highly recommend you do the same. Like if for any of your listeners, it's so, so helpful to just like just to set your queendom in your queendom. How do things operate?
Absolutely.
And then that translated really interesting into dating, because I went on 11 dates in 3 weeks. Can you tell that I'm like a quad Capricorn, like super driven? And
are you
actually? Well, I'm an Aries, but then in my birth chart, I literally have 4 planets in Capricorn, and they're all in my money house too, which is also very interesting. But like, I'm very, very driven. Like, it's like, okay, this is what is going to happen, you know? Well, I would say I'm driven, but I'm like kind of type B driven, you know, like I still need a lot of rest and a lot of like quiet white space. But anyway, so yeah, so I went on 11 dates in 3 weeks, and the third date, I mean, it was interesting, because the third date that I went on, I was really interested in the guy, and I was like, oh my gosh. And I think immediately I was like, oh wow, this is somebody that I'm like very interested in. But kept going on all these dates, and my promise to myself is I'm going to be radically 100% myself. Like, I am not going to, you know, I come out of a marriage and, you know, some people hide that, and I run a business, I run a successful business. Some people hide that. I just was like, you know what? I'm going to be myself. I'm 100% going to be myself. I'm not going to like shy away from the bigness of who I am. You know, I'm pretty loud and I'm super kind and fun, but also, you know, I love life and I'm big. And so I don't want to shrink for that. And I just knew that in the queendom of Alyssa, Alyssa doesn't shrink. So that was kind of my way of going into dating, was very much like, I will go on dates and I'll meet people. But I'm going to be myself, 100% myself.
I think that's amazing. I have been like, on close friends group, like cheering for this guy number 3. I think it's really fun to see, but
yeah,
like, we'll leave it at that.
Yeah. That's a great, I mean, and who knows, like I'm not, it's amazing. And to be able to create what you want and to create, absolutely, like, you know, I didn't realize that I actually need, you know, in a partnership, I need just some physical support. Like, I need somebody mm-hmm. that's going to help, you know, do simple things like cook or make sure that I have water or, you know, just like simple basic things actually really help me be more, more better. That's what I was going to say.
More better.
More better. We're going to say that. But just help me be better and help me like take care of myself better. And so there's some things like that that are really, really have been so helpful and so healing from my marriage. So definitely happy about that. And we'll see, like, I'm very unattached to what happens or what, you know, it's just right now, my philosophy is just enjoy it right now and enjoy the process. And that's what it is, you know, enjoy the now and really, truly enjoy it.
I think it's so interesting because I found that too, as you become more aligned and like your purpose becomes so clear, the need for like the plan and knowing what's next almost goes away.
Totally.
Yeah. It's amazing. So let's do some like quick questions.
Okay.
Actually, perfect. They're not quick, but I'm like, I feel like these are going to be 3-part answers, but what is your biggest success in business so far?
I think at 30, I had over 2 million of asset of real estate, you know, and I think that was a really big success win for me because that was before I really kind of went through any sort of what I'm calling like an awakening or any just kind of realization of purpose and a new way of doing life and business. And so that was really, I'm really proud of that. You know, I think a win too is the school of Heart Centered Styling. That's growing, and to be able to teach other women how to run a successful business, it is really powerful. You know, a successful styling business, and is just really powerful, and it helps. I see it help women. So, yeah, I think that's for sure been a win.
I love that. Biggest failure in business and how did you get through it? Like 2 pieces of advice for it.
Oh my gosh. So number one, forgive yourself. Like failure is just part of the process. And I used to hear people saying that and it would just drive me fucking bonkers. And now mm-hmm. I'm like, no, it actually is true. Like fail, keep failing, keep trying, keep going, because it just is what it is. So my biggest failure is I actually invested in a mentor who was not a good mentor and was really not aligned for me. And there's a lot of manipulation in there that I was okay with because I thought that that's how business and sales were supposed to work. But then in my growth, I'm like, oh, that was actually a really like not a good tactic. And I like totally did it. So I think, so that's probably a failure, but like just forgive yourself, like forgive yourself and keep going, keep realigning to the vision, to the higher vision. I think another failure, oh my gosh, there's like a bazillion.
There's
like
a ton, right? Like,
yeah, it's just, there's so many, down to like bad hires, to not believing in myself enough, to not getting, oh, this is probably the good thing. Oh, this is one. One of my failures was not to hire, financial support earlier in my business, you know, so I kind of kept being like, I can do it, I can do it, I can do it. And the way that I liken it, it's like I was trying to build a trench with sand toys.
Yes.
And so because I didn't consider my business to be a real business, I was like, oh, I don't really need this. I can just use like TurboTax business. And that fucking shot me in the foot because that was really not giving myself, you know, the backo that I needed to dig the hole, not these little sand toys. So I think just having the self-worth and the value in your business and where you're going to hire the support that you need.
I totally agree. I would actually, I hired like an assistant and social media coordinator before I hired a CPA. And I did our accounting until we were at $100,000 a month.
Wow.
Which is, do not do that. Like anybody that's listening, don't do it.
That's crazy to me.
It's insane. Like taking that off of my plate freed up all the time that they were doing work. So like I'm not a financial person. Like, I don't have an accounting degree. I've never done accounting. And it was literally a mess. I mean, I used QuickBooks, so it was like organized mess. But I didn't know what I was doing.
So yeah, totally that's crazy.
It's crazy. Like, I would say anybody who's not telling you that a bookkeeper should be one of your first hires is crazy.
I think it's just like amazing.
Yeah. But I really like, I want people to know, and it's a question I'm going to ask everyone, is about failure, because I feel like we all listen to these business podcasts and we'll hear these horror stories, which like I have a horror story, but most people don't. And people don't realize that like we are failing every single week, if not every single day. You know what I mean? Like something is going wrong and we just keep going.
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's just, if somebody's saying they don't have a failure, like probably not being honest, or they've just shifted it enough to where they don't think that it's a failure. Because honestly, even some of the failures that I've had, I'm like, oh, that was a lesson learned. I really, truly, truly believe like, oh, lesson learned. And honestly, even some of my failures have been not going big enough. You know, I almost bought a property that was like, I think it was like a 1.16 purchase price, but the like if we had flipped it and I had investors and stuff, would have been easily a 3.4 and I 3.4 million. And I remember being like, no, I, you know, that's like, I can't get into that. That's like, no, I'm not going to get into that. And I walked away and somebody did it. Literally 6 months later, somebody did it. And I remember thinking, you know, that another person who came just had the confidence to actually do it. I knew that that was possible. And I knew I had the experience. I just didn't actually do it. So some of the failures are actually not believing in yourself as well.
I think a lot of failure sparks from that.
Yeah.
The like missed opportunities, or the like, I don't know. I like, even with investment and investors, like I was so scared in the beginning to ask for money because I didn't fully believe in what I was doing.
Yeah.
And you know, it can be a little scary. But I don't know. I think everything is a lesson learned. And I think that's how you get through failure.
100%.
Like I failed today, I'll fail tomorrow, but like I'm learning every step of the way and I'm not repeating my mistakes.
100%. And sometimes you will repeat the mistakes. Sometimes it takes you a little bit of time to learn, and that's okay too.
And you're going to hire more than one bad hire.
Yeah.
Like we all hire them. And I think the biggest thing for me was not taking that personally.
Totally.
So what is next for Alyssa? Like what's the next big thing?
Yeah. I think the next big thing for me is focusing on the school in a lot of ways, the School of Heart Centered Styling, because I just love it so much. I love, love, love that. I think just continuing, like continuing to grow. I think I can say this. I have a show in development right now. That's really exciting because I really believe so much in the embodied style method and what I do. And so, so there's that. Continuing to take on a couple one-on-one clients. And just like continuing to grow and evolve and expand and see how exciting this life can be and what we can do, you know?
Yeah. I think that's amazing. Yeah. I don't even think I knew that you had a show in development.
Yeah. So that's kind of happened really fast. So that was a vision from last year. And then I met with a producer kind of earlier this summer, and yeah, it's all going very fast.
Wow. We'll talk more about that offline.
Yeah.
And then I think something that you and I have talked about, and also our friend Nikki, is that like this level of sisterhood that we have now is fucking amazing.
Yeah. 100%.
Like, I knew I wanted it. I never knew that I needed it.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. And like, our conversations are really kind of epic, and just having people to support you. What does like speaking and investment look like to you in the next couple of years?
Yeah. That's such a good question. So speaking, I love speaking. It's one of the things that I think that when it kind of is under that umbrella of really elevating people and helping them to encounter themselves in a more authentic way, to get them fired up about what's exciting and what their purpose is in the world. So speaking is I'm definitely on the speaking train. I have a, you know, I have two speaking events actually, and then coming up in the next month. So that's happening. Cause I just love it. And then investment, the way that I like approach investment is my desire is to make as much money as I possibly can so that I can then, and reinvest it into other businesses that are doing good for the world and doing good for women. And that's a very, you know, and that kind of ties back to the original thing that we were talking about, you know, how can you spend money on clothes when there's people starving or, you know, and I'm like, you know what, like I spend money on clothes and I'm very intentional about how I spend money on clothes. And I also am very intentional about making money so that we are solving some of these bigger world problems. And I'm passionate about that. That's like a non-negotiable for me why I make money and why I can then have money to invest. So that's what's next for me in the speaking and investment front.
Amazing. New advice or advice for like new founders. If somebody is like sitting at their desk or on their way to work and they're like, I really just want to start this business, but I'm scared. I don't have the money. Like, where do you think they should start?
Yeah. Just start where you are. Just where you can. I think there's a sneaking thing that's like, oh, I'm not there, so I don't matter. Or I can't be this big, so I'm not even going to spend this 2 hours that I do have. You know, I don't have, you know, I have to work, so I'm not going to spend, the 2 hours that I do have on my business. And when I started my first styling business, I was working in tech, and I literally would work on the nights and weekends. You know, I would leave work, and I'd go do a closet after work, and I would develop things on the weekend. I like do social media on the weekend. And, you know, I think that, and it was really scary. It was super scary to show up. It's scary when people don't know you in that realm quite yet. You know, they might know you as like Susan, you know, the tech salesperson, not Susan the stylist. Well, I wasn't in tech sales, but to use that example, you know,
I was,
yeah. So to be able to like really change that identity can be really scary, but ultimately you're responsible for your path and not really anybody else's. So that's my advice.
I think that's amazing. And then let's end with three things you're very grateful for right now.
Oh my gosh, my sisterhood. I feel like I have the permission to be exactly who I am and to not shy away from my vision or how big I want to be or how much money I want to make what kind of difference I want to make in the world. I'm actually supported and cheered on by that instead of like, ooh, are you sure, Alyssa? You know, that's like the worst. And so to be able to have a sisterhood that is clapping for you, like truly, truly clapping for you is radical. Like I am so thankful for that. I'm also thankful for my home. I have, you know, it sounds like so basic, but like I live in Montecito in California and I just love where I live. I love my routines. I love my space. I just have, you know, post divorce, that was really scary to like establish a new home. But I basically cleared everything out and was very selective in what came into the Queendom of Alyssa. And so everything has been hand selected. And if it stays in my space, it's because I want it in my space. So that's what I'm thankful for. And then my third thing that I'm thankful for, I think just my health and my general ability to create in the world. I'm kind of fighting sickness right now, but even still, I'm just like so thankful that I have a body and a voice and a mind, and just that I get to live life is truly a gift, and I don't take that for granted. It actually kind of makes me tear up.
Yeah. Well, I'm so grateful for our sisterhood. I think I'm very happy you're part of mine.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
How can people find you? And we'll include it all in the notes too.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So my website is alyssawilliams.com, and Alyssa is spelled E-L-I-S-S-A. And so that's a great place to go. You can, there's all kinds of information there. There's also a free, like a little freebie download of how to identify your up-leveled style, which is really nice. It kind of exists at the intersection of personal style and personal development. So that's a great place to go. And then my Instagram, I'm very active on Instagram and Instagram stories. And that my handle is Alyssa_Williams. I'm trying to buy the Alyssa Williams handle. So if anybody feels like they want to, you know, help with that, you can also reach out to that because I do need to get that. And those are probably the best ways. So, and I also do, if you're like a super fan and you're like, oh, I'm so into this, you can go to Facebook and type in Empowered Style Sisterhood. And I have a really, really fun Facebook group that's all about kind of empowering yourself and sisters through style. So, and it's like the, you know, everything that you think of, like the mean girls, it's like the opposite of mean girls in there.
It totally is. That's such a good way to explain it.
Yeah. So we're just like making style really, really fun and approachable and from a place of empowerment. So those are the ways.
Well, thank you so much for being my first episode.
Absolutely. This is amazing. Thank you for having me.
So excited.